Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody in the sanctuary. Good morning. God bless you. Good morning, everybody on Facebook and on YouTube Live. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Good morning. For those of you that are tuning in, we thank you for joining us. For those of you that are in the sanctuary, take a good look over there. Because just about every one of those musicians was a little baby when they started. Listen to them now. That the Lord is, hallelujah, made some music for us to what? Celebrate Him, hallelujah. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. We thank you for all of us, all of you who are joining us online. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle, where Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. And this is the first Sunday in the month of October. Amen. Amen. So it is Communion Sunday. And if you are at home, please prepare the things that you have set aside. Because when we have communion, we do this because Jesus commanded us. This do in remembrance of me. Amen? Amen. Amen. But we get ready to have prayer, but I want you to think about this. We've been dealing with COVID for, a year and a half? Those doors have still been open. Amen? We've been dealing with COVID for a year and a half. You've still been able to watch and hear His word. Amen? The Lord will make a way for you to hear from Him. Amen? You need to think about that. Think about how all the stuff that has been going on. But He has made a way for us to hear His word. Amen? Amen. Can we all stand? Lord, we thank You for allowing us to come together today to meet and assemble in Your name, to not only receive communion, but to receive Your blessed word. Anoint our pastor right now that You would use him, his heart, his mind, his body, and his tongue to deliver the word that You have prepared for us, that we would be edified and transformed and renewed in our minds, that those who are here in the sanctuary or are tuning in who are not saved would be saved because they are drawn by Your preached word. And for those who are in the sanctuary, who are saved, that they would be encouraged and their faith increased by the hearing of Your wonderful word. Touch us right now this morning, Christ Jesus, that You would be glorified by how You transform us to serve You with our whole heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to start with the communion part of our service. So I'm going to read our scripture for communion. So I would ask that you would stay standing. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to start with, what's wrong on the sheet of paper? That doesn't look right. We're going to start with verse 23. Amen. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. Amen? Amen. I've just read from 1 Corinthians 11. We are next going to have our deaconess, Lyons. She's going to read our confession of faith. And then after that, Reverend Lyons is going to come up and pray over the sacraments. Amen? Amen.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent.
We are truly sorry and we humbly repent.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
have mercy on us and forgive us.
That we may delight in your
will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen. All right. So before I even get started praying, let us examine ourselves as we pray. Let's pray together and remember what we're doing. This is commanded of our Lord. Father God, as we gather, humble and grateful, in remembrance of the sacrifice of your Son, our Lord, Jesus the Christ. Father, we thank you that you allowed him to be our sacrifice, his body broken for our iniquities, his blood shed as redemption for our souls. So, Father, we ask right now, God, in remembrance of him, that you be with us in the midst, Lord. Forgive us of any shortcomings, Lord, anything not like you today, as we take this communion and remember our Lord and Savior. Let this bread be an acceptable substitute in representing his broken body, and this juice an acceptable substitute to represent his shed blood. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. 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 We are now going to have our pastor come out. He is going to lead us in our communion. Amen. Amen. Although I think he's taking a moment. See, there we are. The door has opened. Ladies and gentlemen, let us receive our pastor, Jonathan Ford. Amen. I've been told that we're going to have a selection first. Amen. I'm sorry. It wasn't on my sheet. Come on up. We're going to have a musical selection. I apologize. That's the way the pastor wants to proceed, so we shall. Amen.
Good morning, Teller. Praise God, praise God. How many of you know that God is worthy of our praise? God deserves our praise, our offering. Hallelujah. He deserves it all. He deserves it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's October 30th. So grateful to be in the month of October. For him to carry us through another month is glorious. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. The song says, my hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. Come on, tell her, raise your hands and say that. My hallelujah belongs to you. Saying like you really deserve to tell her, my hallelujah. My hallelujah belongs to you. The next part just says you deserve it. Say,
you deserve it.
Sing it.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
All of the glory.
All of the glory belongs to you.
Come on, tell her, harmonize that with me. All of the glory.
All of the glory belongs to you.
Time, all of the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus.
All of the glory belongs to you.
All of the glory.
All of the glory belongs to you.
Now thank you, deserve it.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
All of the glory.
You deserve it.
hallelujah, Jesus. It all belongs to you.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Come on, come and sing that with us. My hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you.
The next part is easy. It just goes like this.
Oh.
You guys sing that?
Oh.
Come on, choir.
Oh.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Oh.
Last one.
Oh.
Oh, hallelujah.
Shall we all stand? Whether here in the sanctuary or in your home, or if you're tuning in this morning on the job, you would stand with us. As we do that, which the Lord Jesus Christ himself asked us to do in remembrance of him. For those that have the sacraments, as you receive sacraments, as you entered the church, those joining us at home, we're going to ask that you would remove the top layer and expose the wafer there, representing the bread and his body. The scriptures tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, the Passover, that he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat ye all of it." And after the same manner, he also took the cup of thanksgiving. He told his disciples that this wine represents his own blood. And with it, he puts in place a new covenant, a new agreement between us and God. He shared it with his disciples and said, "Drink ye all of it." This morning we have demonstrated our obedience to the word of God and to our Lord and Savior. He said, "Do this until he comes again." Doesn't it feel good to obey God? Doesn't it feel good to honor God the way that he has asked and required of us? And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad to have our praise and worship team back, because I agree with them. He deserves it. He deserves all of the praise. He deserves all of the glory. All of the honor. All of the majesty. He deserves it. What manner of love is this? That a man would lay down his life for another. He deserves all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. We thank you for this another Lord's Sunday morning. We thank you for the opportunity that we have shared with you to come and break bread and drink wine and remember your great sacrifice and our fellowship with you. Our fellowship with the Father. Our fellowship with the Spirit. And our fellowship one with another. Father, we thank you for believers everywhere. All over this world. All over this globe. We thank you that we are one in Christ Jesus. God, we thank you for the ecclesia, the called out ones, called by your name, drawn by your Spirit, that we might be lights and examples in this world to this untoward generation. Fill us with your Spirit. Empower us to shine brightly, even as the morning sun. Give us courage not to hide our light, but to let our light so shine before all men, they might be witnesses of your good works. And give God all the glory, honor, and praise. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for sacrificing yourself, dying for our sins. That we might partake of your righteousness and be declared holy before God himself. We long and look forward to the day when we shall be changed and made like you. Be holy. So we thank you. This simple ceremony means so much to us. So we praise you for it. Thank you. We give you the honor, all the glory. All of God's people said amen. Amen. Amen again. Come on, before you go to your seat, give God the best praise. Come on, give him your best praise. Your best. Give him your best. Give him your best. Your best, your best, your best. He deserves it. He's worthy.
be seated all over the sanctuary. Those here, those in the upper room, and those at home. Let me start where I left off last Sunday and express my sincere appreciation for all of your wonderful expressions of kindness and your wonderful gifts, both on last Sunday, throughout this week, and even on this Sunday. Once again, I am extremely grateful for your kindness and for your great generosity. May the Lord bless you in above measure. Thank you for it. I really appreciate it. Thank you for all that was done on Sunday. Thank you for the wonderful surprise on Wednesday night. If you were online, you know I was ready to check out, but you guys told me to check back in, and how wonderful to receive those salutations and to know that I am appreciated by the people of God. I really enjoyed it. I really, really enjoyed every comment, every remark, and I thank you for it. Also, on the heels of that, I want to invite everybody this Wednesday night to be back on our Bible study line at 7 p.m. We meet every 7 p.m. via Google Meets. I'm sure they'll have that link for you up during the announcement. The reason why I'm inviting and encouraging the entire Taylor Nation to check in during the course of last Wednesday, there was a question submitted in the chat that I did not answer. So I promised that I'm going to answer it at the beginning of Bible study. Okay, so you got to check back in the beginning, not the end. Okay, so don't watch Wheel of Fortune and then try to, all right, put Jeopardy on hold for one night and just tune in at 7. Because here was the question, and it is an important question, and it dealt with dealing with distractions while trying to study the Bible. That is a worthy question. Because each and every one of us deal with distractions while trying to study the Word of God. So I'm going to be answering that question and giving you guys some practical tips to help you handle distractions while studying the Word of God. Okay? So again, this Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Google Meets, jump on early, okay? Don't come in late, because after I answer our question, I'm going to get back into our study of genuine saving faith. Amen? Good, good. So thank you for that. Hey, and then lastly, I want to say this. In the coming weeks, I'm going to, as is my custom, to be here for worship, but I am going to be leaving early, okay? Just so you know, I'm going to be leaving early. I'm going to spend the month preaching at Open Door Baptist Church, okay? And so the ministers are going to be preaching here, and I'm going to be preaching there. And the reason for it, some of you may remember our connection to Open Door Baptist. A number of years ago, we went there for a youth service, took our young people, took the youth choir, and we preached and had a tremendous time in fellowship. And their pastor at that time, Bishop Jeremiah Norris and his wife, frequented our services and came to a number of our events over the years. And unfortunately, Bishop Norris went home to be with the Lord during the pandemic. Okay? It's a few months ago. He went home to be with the Lord. Now we understand that that's a joyous occasion. We don't sorrow as others. Trust me, he's in a far better place than you and I. Okay? But what we are doing in his untimely departure, unfortunately, their instructions were not left for the church to go forward. He died without a successor in place, and he died without instructions for the church to go forward. And as such, the church is trying to address that now, okay? And obviously, they're beginning to search for a pastor and do a number of other things to ensure that the church goes forward. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to go over there and just provide pastoral preaching and, to the extent I can, pastoral leadership for a season, just for a season, to help them go forward, okay? And what I'm asking of you, this coming week, we'll be fasting, as is our custom, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I'm asking you to remember Open Door Baptist Church in your prayers. This week, as you fast and consecrate, I want you to lift them up. Transitioning a church is not an easy thing. Okay? And so we want to pray for them. We want to pray with them and pray that the church continues to move forward. Amen. So I just wanted to share that, one, as a way of information, and then two, also you can understand why you may not see me over the next couple of weeks. Like I say, I'll be here to begin the worship experience, but at some point I will be cutting out so that I can be on time to join them in worship. Amen? If you got it, say, I got it. If you got your Bible, say, I have it. Come on, let's open it up then. A closed Bible does no one any good. It only works when you open it and read it. And watch this, and then do what it says. Thank God for the drummer. That's the only thing I got was the drummer. Thank God for the drummer. You have your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, verses 42 to 44. Thank God for our usher. If you need a Bible, he's coming down the row. Again, we're going to start in the Old Testament, the book of 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, verses 42 to 44. If you need a Bible, he has some. If you have it on your iPhone or your iPad, again, the second book of Kings, the 4th chapter, verse 42. Once you have that, we're going to add to the witness out of the New Testament, the Gospel of St. John, the 6th chapter, verses 11 through 14. And 26 through 35. And as you get these verses, I am going to invite you to stand one last time as we read and honor God's word. And if you stand up after this, it'll be on your own. Again, 2 Kings 4:42, the Gospel of St. John 6:11. If you're there, you're going to see these words. It says, then a man came from Bethshalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread, newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, the man of God said, give it to the people that they may eat. But his servant said, what? Shall I set this before 100 men? So the prophet said again, give it to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. So he set it before them. And they did eat and had some left over according to the word of the Lord. Now let's turn to the witness out of the Gospel of St. John, 11 through 4. Actually, let's add verse 9 in there. Let's start at verse 9 and just flow it down. And there was a lad here. There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, and so the men sat down in a number of about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks and blessed them, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up, filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Staying in the 6th chapter, just drop down to verse 26. Jesus said unto them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perisheth, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Because our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. And that is the word of God. You may be seated all over the church. There are dozens of varieties of breads that line store shelves and fill many cookbooks around the world. And with all of this great variety and different types and styles of bread, only a few are considered healthy options. Certain types of breads are high in fiber, vitamins, minerals, while others are made from refined grains and offer little, if any, nutritional value. Naturally, you may wonder, like me, what kind of bread is the best? What kind of bread is healthiest? This morning, I'm going to start this sermon by giving you seven of the healthiest breads you can choose to eat. Topping the list is sprouted bread. Sprouted bread is made from whole grains that have started to sprout from exposure to heat and moisture. Sprouting has been shown to increase the amount of availability of certain nutrients. Next, there is sourdough bread. Sourdough bread is made through a fermentation process that relies on naturally occurring yeast and bacteria to make bread rise. Sourdough bread is thought to have a low glycemic index, which is a measure of the impact a food has on the human blood sugar. Next, there is 100% whole wheat or whole grain bread. This type of bread keeps the entire grain intact, including the germ, the endosperm, and the bran. The bran, which is the hard outer layer, is high and rich in fiber. Whole wheat and whole grain breads have been linked to numerous health benefits, including a decreased risk of type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and certain cancers. Then there is oat bread. Oat bread. Oat is typically made from a combination of oats, whole wheat flour, yeast, water, and salt. Since oats are highly nutritious and linked to several health benefits, oat bread is often a healthy choice. In particular, oats are high in fiber and beneficial nutrients, including magnesium, vitamin B1, iron, and zinc. Next, there is flax bread. Flax bread, which is made primarily from whole grain flours and flax seeds, is one of the healthiest breads you can eat. This is because flax seeds are highly nutritious and offer a number of health benefits. Particularly, they are an excellent source of alpha linolenic acid, ALA, and omega-3 fatty acid found in plants. Then there is rye bread. Rye bread closely resembles wheat, but is usually darker and denser. Traditionally, rye bread is made from rye flour and does not contain any wheat flour, whereas most modern rye breads are made from a combination of the two. When compared to wheat, rye bread is often considered more nutritious. In fact, studies show that rye bread may lead to greater fullness and have less of an impact on blood sugar than wheat bread. Then rounding out our list is gluten-free bread. Gluten-free breads are made without glutinous grains like wheat, like rye, or barley. They are safe options for people who need to avoid gluten, such as those who have a gluten sensitivity. While the exact ingredients in gluten-free loaves depend on the type, they are typically made from a mix of gluten-free flours such as brown rice, almond, coconut, potato, or corn flours. However, those made from almond or coconut flour, such as barley bread, tend to be lower in carbs and calories, but higher in fiber and protein than loaves made from wheat or other grains. The higher fiber and protein content in all of these products may help fill you up more than other breads while packing fewer calories and much less starch. While all of these breads are considered healthy, none of them can claim the title as the healthiest bread. The most healthiest bread in all of the earth and all of heaven is the bread of God. I took you all the way around the barn just to bring you back to where we started. The most healthiest bread in all of earth and all of heaven is in fact the bread of God. So let's look at 2 Kings, that fourth chapter. You have that story there, continuing with the miracles of Elisha. Verse 42 says, "And there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread, and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, give it to the people that they might eat." The thing I want to point out in this verse just quickly is what this man brought to the man of God. Notice what it says is that he brought bread of the first fruits. According to Leviticus 23 and 20, which says, "The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruit as a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. And they," the lambs and the first fruit bread, "shall be holy to the Lord for the priest." Historically, the first fruits, including the grains, were reserved for God and considered holy. Okay? So I want you to see what he brings the man of God. He doesn't bring him any bread, but he brings him what? Bread of the first fruit, which means it's what? Holy bread. Okay? I'm going to walk you down. That's your first clue right there. That in the sacrifice, they were to bring the first fruit bread and give it to the priest as a holy sacrifice unto God and for the priest to eat. 43 and 44. "But his servant said, what shall I set this before 100 men? So the prophet said again, give it to the people that they may eat. But thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over." I can relate to the servant's surprise. What can 20 loaves of bread do in the face of 100 hungry men? Not much. And I said I can relate to it. Because I have at times asked my own wife, what can one loaf of bread do in a house with four men? That's what I got in my house. I got four men. One loaf of bread is gone by lunchtime. If you're going to go shop, get enough bread to make a dent in the week. One loaf ain't... That was a joke in y'all missed it. One loaf. Only the people with boys, I guess, not that, well, whatever. But I said, I understand what the servant was saying. He was grateful for the bread because they were hungry. But in his estimation, that bread was not enough. Right? Now, we've read the story, and so we realize that, in fact, God performed a miracle at the word of the prophet because all 100 men ate and there was bread left over. Right? Look at somebody and say, it's enough bread. That's all there is to that. It is enough bread. Now let's go back to John. Let's add to the witness. I want you to turn there in John, and I want you to get ready, because I'm going to say this and close out on the story in 2 Kings. The multiplication of the loaves in accordance with the word of the Lord through his prophet foreshadowed the messianic ministry of Jesus Christ, during which Jesus himself would feed 5,000 with just five loaves. Okay? So now you're putting, this is what you call the big picture of the Bible. You see it in the Old Testament, but it's more than just that. That story is a foreshadow or a look ahead, right, to a greater story, right, which we pick up in John 6. Are you with me? Because it's in John 6 that we find in verse 9 that what? That there was a lad in church that Sunday, and that lad had five loaves of barley bread and two fish. Verse 10, Jesus said, make the people sit down. There was plenty of grass. He said the number was about 5,000. In verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish as much as they wanted. And they gathered up and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the five barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Are you with me? Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. Now, Jesus does in the New Testament what Elisha the prophet did in the Old Testament. He feeds the 5,000 with just five loaves. Now, I want you to notice that there were 12 baskets of bread fragments left over. 12 is important because it left one basket for each disciple as a sign that the bread is more than enough. What started out as just five loaves, in the face of 5,000, not including women and children, which from appearance seemed to be an inadequate amount of bread, after Jesus blessed it and broke it and distributed to the 5,000 men, there were 12 basketfuls of bread remaining. One basket for each disciple to leave them with a permanent memory that the bread of God is more than enough. I'm working it. I'm going to get you there. Elisha gave you a clue. Jesus, by this miracle, adds another clue to the mystery. Elijah fed 100 men with 20 barley loaves. Jesus feeds 5,000 men with 5 barley loaves. Look at somebody and just say this. It's the same miracle because it's the same bread. Remember, I told you the bread was holy. First fruit bread, reserved exclusively for God and for the priests that serve in his presence. So he feeds the 5,000. And after that, now I'm in verse 26. He said, Jesus said to them, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the sign, 12 for the disciples, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. This verse emphasizes Jesus' point that the crowds which followed him were motivated by superficial desires. Superficial desires of food rather than any understanding of the true spiritual significance of Jesus's person and ministry. You following me? Because he fed them in abundance, they kept following him. Jesus had to confront them and cause them to recognize their own motives, that you only follow me for the bread. Never realizing that there is greater bread available. I wish I had a real church. Here it is. Let's get there. Let's get there. Verse 27. Do not, this is Jesus to the crowd, labor for food which perishes. For the food which, but rather labor for food which endures to everlasting life. Here it is, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Look at somebody and say, you're going after the wrong bread. I like the flax, sourdough, whole grain, sprouted bread, but all of them are the wrong bread. There is a greater bread, a healthier bread, not only satisfying the natural, but also satisfying the spiritual hunger and lack in every man. Somebody shout yes. Here it is. Here it is. Jesus rebuked the crowd for purely materialistic notions of his kingdom. The people failed to see the overriding spiritual character and the eternal blessing of possessing eternal life that would be given immediately to whoever believes the witness of God through his own Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus had to slow the people down. He said, you're following me for the wrong bread. Here it is, 28. They said to him, what sign would you do that we may work the works of God? He answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. This is what God wants from us, is to believe, watch this, in the true bread. I'm trying to tie it. I got 3 more verses. I'm trying to tie it. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe? What work will you do? This is what they said to Jesus. This is where the Jews miss it. They said, our fathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written in the word of God, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. What they missed was the fact that even though those Jews ate manna from heaven, they still died in the wilderness. Not only did their fathers die, but every morning they had to go out and gather fresh manna for another day's journey. Any manna that was stored in the house, God said, I'm going to spoil it so that you can't eat it. I'm only going to give you enough for the day's journey. And every morning, the children of Israel had to go out and gather fresh manna. Here it is. The manna God gave in the wilderness was temporary and perished and was only a foreshadowing of what God offered them in the true bread from heaven, which is Jesus Christ. He would be the bread that never goes stale or ever runs out. Just like the priests were no longer necessary to offer sacrifices on the people's behalf, because Jesus Christ has become our great high priest, and he alone has entered in to the most holy of holies. Watch this. Not in the earth, but up in heaven where God is. And he offered a sacrifice, not killed by human hands, but he offered his own self as the Lamb of God, therefore satisfying God's judgment against us, and no longer requiring another sacrifice. His blood paid the price for all eternity. His body is bread enough for all eternity. Somebody shout yes. Here it is. Here it is. I'm out of time. I'm out of time. Jesus said this, verse 32. I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Here it is. For the bread of God, watch this, is he who gives, who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world. Church, it's not bread. It's really Jesus Christ. It's not flax, rye, sourdough, gluten-free, whole wheat, whole grain, but the true bread of God is in fact Jesus the Christ, which comes down from above. Somebody shout yes. Here it is. They said, Lord, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them,
I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. He was bread in the Old Testament. He's bread in the New Testament. And he shall be the bread of God both now and forevermore. He is the bread of God. Somebody shout yes. Here it is. That's why the scriptures declare that on that night that Judas betrayed Jesus, the scripture said Jesus took bread. This is where I wish I had my real church. He blessed it and he broke it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. I'm the real bread. I'm the real bread of God. I'm the real bread from heaven. This is my body, broken for you. He is the true bread of God. He is the bread of life. He is. I want that bread. I need that bread. Hallelujah. My, 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 my. Is there anybody here that desires the true bread from heaven? Is there anybody here that wants the bread of God? If you do, you ought to give the Lord a praise right now. Feed me the real bread. That's what I want. That's what I need. I need the real bread. Oh, 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 yes. I realize that many of you have tuned in this Sunday because the first lady has a big announcement. But as your pastor, I came to tell you that the big announcement is that Jesus Christ, he is the true bread, the true bread, the true bread. That's the good news. That's what I need. That's what I want. The true bread of God. I dare you to pray It was this bread that was wounded for our transgressions. It was this bread that was bruised for our iniquity. And it was the bread of God that took upon himself the chastisement of our peace. And it was by this bread, the bread of God, by his stripes, we are healed and made whole. The bread of God, listen to me, church, is more than enough. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, challenges, obstacles, things in your way, just come to the Lord's table and eat of that bread. That bread. Why? Because it's more than enough. He'll bless you. And you will have blessings left over. Do you know what you do with leftover blessings? You do the same thing you do with leftover food. In my house, my wife doesn't cook every night. When she cooks that first night, she always makes more than enough. Why? So that on the next night, I wish I had a real church, the boys don't have to bother her. They can go to the refrigerator and eat what was left over. Anytime God blesses you with more than enough, that's a sign he's going to provide for your children and your children's children to the fourth generation. He always gives more than enough. That's how I know the manna wasn't it. It always perished. But when Jesus offered up his own body, he entered into the holies of holies one time. That was it. Because his bread, his body, his blood was more than enough. And I want you to get this. Not only is it more than enough for natural things, it is more than enough for spiritual things. I don't know if you can handle this, but I'll give it to you because he told me to give it to you. Here it is. If God saves you, that is a sign that he's going to save your children. I'm telling you, he's more than enough. You don't have to worry, cry, get upset, pull your hair out. The bread of God. Not only will you eat, but your children are going to eat. Your grandchildren are going to eat. Your great-grandchildren shall eat of the same bread. They won't die. They won't be lost. Why? They're going to eat the same bread. It's the same bread. That's why he gave you more than enough. So that your children can live and not die. So that your grandchildren, watch this, who are not even born yet. I got the rest of the church in the message now. Y'all thought I was only talking about people with grandchildren. I'm talking about people who don't even have grandchildren yet. They shall come forth. And when they do, they're going to eat the same bread. The bread that you ate will be the bread that they'll eat. And they'll break that same bread. They'll give it to their children. And their children will take that same bread and give it to their children. And God is going to raise up a heritage of righteousness in your house. All because you ate of the true bread. You're here this Sunday morning. You're joining us online. You're streaming in. This bread is for you. This bread has been made available. He died for all mankind. If you're hungry for the true bread, all you have to do is accept his sacrifice. All you have to do is believe in his name. All you have to do is confess your sins. The ABCs of salvation. Accept him. Believe on him. Confess his name. The Bible says you shall be saved. You will eat of the bread of God. If you eat of the bread of God, you will never die, but shall have everlasting life. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise.
Amen. 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 I'm going to keep us moving because I've got to bring the first lady up in a second. For those of you who are online, who are watching, if you want to reach out to the church with regard to prayer or salvation, you can go to the church website, www.taylortabernacle.com. Take a look at the menus. You can reach down to contact us. Reach out to us. We will help you. We will respond to you. Otherwise, you can also call the church at 215-748-4578. Leave a message, and a member of the church leadership will call you back. Amen? Amen. Now I'm going to move us to the next part of our service as we celebrate the Lord, which is offering time. Amen? Amen. So for those of you in the sanctuary, if you need an envelope, the usher will get you one. But for those of you that are participating online, or even those in the church that want to give a different way, there are several ways to give, right? Amen. First, you can give by text message. You can text the code Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, 61, to the phone number 73256, and you'll receive a link and instructions for how to give. You can give through our website. Again, you go to www.taylortabernacle.com, you go to /giving, and you would follow the instructions there. Amen? You can give by U.S. mail. Please send a check or money order to, and here are the instructions, Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, P.A. 19139. Amen? And then finally, for those of you who are here, the baskets are over there on the side, and what we would ask is at the end of service that you would exit through the side door and you can place your offering in those baskets. Amen? 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 Now, it was wonderful to hear the word, right? But we were all waiting to hear from Jemay, weren't we? Well, I'm going to call up our first lady. She's got our announcement. She's got the big announcement, that's been previewed by the pastor, but it's time for her to come forth and give our announcements. Can we honor our first lady? Let's stand up for her. She never gets to stand. Let's stand up for our first lady and say, hey! We need this one. He wants you to use it. Okay, we're going to wait for the first lady to get the mic. We're being COVID aware. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to put these down. Thank you so much. Good morning. Happy Communion Sunday. And I'm going to be honest. My husband set me up talking about big news. But I'm glad that he ended up setting the stage right once again at the end of his service when he said the real news was already given, that Jesus Christ is the bread of God. Amen. And praise and worship set the stage even more to start out with, to say that he deserves all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Thank God. So that was the real news. But I do have some news to share. So I am more than pleased to announce that Turning the Tide has joined forces with two other organizations to form a new social impact campaign, which is meant to increase the number of people in the Philadelphia and Montgomery counties who have access to and can receive the COVID-19 vaccine. The campaign is called Love Your Neighbor, and I have for each and every one who's in the audience, I had to count and make sure because many people are still streaming online, but for communion service, more turns, but I have enough for, I think, the kids too. I have children size. These are PPEs, personal protection equipment. Enough. I have masks in here. I have, for the adults, I have vaccine card holders. I have pocket tissue, hand sanitizer. The masks are reusable. This is all part of a campaign called Love Your Neighbor. The byline is get vaccinated, be informed, stay encouraged. This project is a short-term project in nature. Activities are going to go through the end of the year, maybe a little longer, depending. And I would be remiss if I did not, I have to get my glasses out for these. Reiterate that what Love Your Neighbor campaign is intended to do is to be the resource for all things COVID-19. That's information. That's where to access vaccine sites, where to get tested. We have resources available for those who can't afford to get to those places or get back. There will be so much more about that announced each Sunday in October, but I would be remiss to say that this initiative, which again is a partnership between Turning the Tide, Bethel AME Church of Ardmore, and St. Matthew Bethel Church, is funded by the Temple's COVID-19 Trauma-Informed Workforce Initiative Fund. Now, that's a lot. That's a lot to unpack. But we have been given significant funding to really make continue to make an impact in this community. This campaign, our campaign, which we wrote in and we prepared a proposal to request funding, we ended up receiving $125,000 just for our campaign. And that is all thanks to just the blessings and the favor of Turning the Tide. And I'd like you just to just praise them for allowing us this opportunity. What Turning the Tide does, and I will tell you more about Turning the Tide, because many of you support Turning the Tide. You've heard about Turning the Tide, but you don't really know what we've done and how long we've been in existence. So I'll tell you a little bit more about Turning the Tide. But as promised, I am going to tell you what the core purpose of Temple's COVID-19 Trauma-Informed Workforce Initiative is, which, again, they are funding us. Temple University's COVID-19 Trauma-Informed Workforce Initiative Fund specifically targets medically underserved urban, suburban, and rural communities impacted by COVID-19 in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. The short-term initiative will focus on improving health outcomes among racial and ethnic minority groups, English language learners, and vulnerable populations, including older adults, adults with intellectual or other disabilities or chronic conditions in counties throughout Pennsylvania. Additionally, the initiative will prioritize communities that have endured long-standing systemic health and social inequities, such as those who have limited access to health care, that face discrimination, live in crowded conditions and poverty, experience education, income, and wealth gaps, and work in settings that put them at higher risk for COVID-19 exposure. The ultimate goals of this project are to prevent COVID-19 transmission, increase vaccine access, and decrease vaccine hesitancy, and provide the resources communities need to mitigate the impacts of COVID-19. This project is being supported by funds from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration. Now, that's a lot to say. That's a mouthful. But basically what it means is Turning the Tide and the work that we've been doing over the last 20 years was meant to be doing work like this. Turning the Tide, which stands for technology and information delivered to empower. That's what TIDE means in Turning the Tide, technology and information delivered to empower. I am proud to currently be serving, well, I have been, I guess, for about 10 years now, as its director of programming, and we focus on programs throughout the year. The only exception in the last 20 years, the only exception in interruption of service has been COVID-19, and that was mandated. We had no choice to shut down in-person activity. But for 20 years, we have been providing life-impacting services to Philadelphians, primarily in West Philadelphia and Southwest Philadelphia. Like I said, the past 20 years, we started in 2001 was when we were incorporated, but Turning the Tide being a long-term vision of our beloved pastor and matriarch, Reverend Lucille Ford, it was something that she scraped resources together to start. Ultimately in 2001, it was incorporated, and we've been running ever since. providing thousands in this area with support finding jobs, learning how to use the computer, teaching kids how to be safe on the computer. We've had youth empowerment programs and other social impact projects throughout the years. And ultimately, our goal has always been to help address the most pressing needs of those who are underserved in the West Philadelphia and Southwest Philadelphia community, but really throughout Philadelphia. And we do that through the provision of free technology, education programs, and like I said, social impact programs such as what we're doing now, Love Your Neighbor campaign. So that is it in a nutshell. We actually have activities that are planned. They've already started. I thank those of you who joined in our recent virtual forum that recently occurred past week. We have a few more going on. And every Sunday, I will be handing out to those in the community, I'm starting with the congregation and the kids, personal protection equipment bags. The bags, please keep. You're going to, I want you to pay a visit to the garden and actually get some baggies of fresh produce. We have a crop of lettuce that has just come up. There are still some tomatoes out there, jalapeno peppers. This garden is a labor of love, and it is helping us to provide fresh produce and fruits and vegetables at no cost to those who find it hard to find it in the local community. So we're growing it. And I've had greens, right, Pop? Pop, he makes them. I've had greens. I've put, you sure did. Yes. Pick them. I cooked them. All I had to do was clean them and season them. I've had squash. Sister Mary actually sent me a recipe. We'll be doing a lot. We'll be giving out free recipes. The kids have already been doing gardening classes. Please take advantage. Take your PPE that you're going to receive after service. I'll actually have them in the back in the garden. Take your PPE. Find something out there that you like, something that you know you're going to cook with in the next day or two. That, exactly. Absolutely. So I want all of you, whether you know it or not, are participating in the work that we do at Turning the Tide. I am so happy to be sharing this news with you. It's been a long time coming. We worked hard to get to this point, and I'm looking forward to all the activities we're going to have in the next few weeks, actually the next few months. October is going to be big, though. Not only are we finishing up the harvesting of the crop, which I want you to add to your PPEs today, but we're also having, like I said, online events. And at the end of October, October 31st, right here at Taylor Tabernacle, Turning the Tide is sponsoring a Harvest Fest, a Harvest Festival, in which we'll be giving, again, more PPEs, and the entire community is invited. I want you to invite friends. We're having it at 1 o'clock. I will be asking some of you to help volunteer. I'll give you some T-shirts and maybe some free food, but I want you to volunteer. It's for the kids, not only in our congregation, but in the neighborhood. And we'll be informing them about how to be safe in this environment, how to get tested if you don't have access to testing or if you find it hard to get access, how to get a vaccine if you haven't yet been vaccinated. We'll have some incentives, and we'll have plenty of treats for the kids. So that is October 31st. That's a Sunday right after church, our very own Harvest Festival. So that rounds out my announcements for today. Again, I'll be giving a little snippet every Sunday in the month of October. Thank you so much.
Great. Amen. Thank you. Hey, thanks everybody for hanging in there. The first Sunday, we've covered a lot of ground. Thank you, as always, for your attention and for your patience with us. If you could bring me those things on my desk, Norm. Hey, before we get out of here, I'm going to ask you to stand for the benediction. As you're standing, hey, I'm going to ask my dad to come up in the final seconds we have. Come on up, Dad. Have my dad come up. For all of you, I just having my dad come up, that's, you might have to help him, knowing that ain't going to hold him going that way. But on next Tuesday, my dad turns 84 years old. And today, yeah, we just wanted to celebrate him, his birthday.
Like I told you, I won't be here next Sunday, so we had to do it this Sunday. But this is for your birthday, Pop. We just wanted to be a blessing to you and to what you have meant to me personally and also to our church. Come on, let's give Bishop Ford a hand. Amen.
There it is.
Hey, look, thanks, everyone. We know we've gone way overboard, but thanks for your patience. Come on, let's look to heaven. Father in heaven, we thank you for what you have done for us today. We thank you for your precious gift in the form of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us as we go from this place. Go with us, stand by us, stand up strong in the heart of the believer everywhere, and help us to declare the truth of your word. This we ask in Jesus' name, for his sake and for his glory alone. Amen. God bless you, Taylor Nation. See you next Sunday.